Hi, this is Nicole Hemsoth, editor of HPC Wire, here with today's edition of Soundbite, our daily interview series featuring researchers, thought leaders, and newsmakers in the world of high-performance computing. The Rice Oil and Gas High Performance Computing Workshop just finished its seventh year earlier this month, bringing together around 500 researchers, oil and gas practitioners, and IT industry leaders. Here to summarize key trends and topics gleaned from the event is Dr. Jan Odegaard, Executive Director of the Ken Kennedy Institute for Information Technology and General Chair of the Oil and Gas Workshop. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Nicole.
Thanks for being on today.
Thank you for inviting me to join you.
So congratulations on your seventh year. If you could, just give us a quick sense of where the conference began, what the roots are, and where it's come up until this point.
It's really been an interesting endeavor, and it dates back to 2008 when we first got together with a group of my colleagues in the energy industry thinking about some of the challenges that they were facing with an increasing computational expertise. These are colleagues that have been thinking about this for decades. They run, some of them are running large high-performance computing, supercomputing centers at their companies. These represent, Total, ExxonMobil, BP, Hess, Shell, and Chevron this particular year. But, the idea was to create sort of some more cross-industry communication and exploration of the challenges that industry was facing as they needed to sort of look forward into what are we going to need 3 to 5 years from now to actually meet some of the industry's key needs. And to do that, every company had a mechanism to talk to the computing industry and to talk to the universities, but there was no forum where we actually had this in a single event. So that was the idea. So we just had this idea of bringing this community together. We thought, well, let's run one workshop and see how it works. And in 2008, we had 180 people join us. This year, as you just opened with, we had 500 plus people come and join us in this particular conversation. And it's interesting to see the kind of energy, pun intended, that is going on in the room. And people are there really engaging in conversation about some of the challenges. So it is interesting and definitely something that we're delivering on a need.
Right. And so let's talk about what some of those needs are and maybe put those in historical context. When you first started, what were the real drivers for computation for this industry in particular on the applications and hardware level? And are they really that much different?
So I don't think they're that much different today than they were back there. That industry is probably one of the largest consumers, of large-scale, high-performance computing infrastructure and as an industry. And they've always been that way. As a matter of fact, if you go back to the early days of computing, this is an industry that, were early adopters of supercomputers, and they're still using the supercomputers. I think what was happening in the early part of this decade is basically that they were sort of getting back into it. There had been some years where they've sort of not really been the main focus because there was a period where we believed all computing could be done on your workstation or your desktop. That actually is not true for this industry, and they're large consumers. Combined with that, there is increasing, amount of sensing going on. There's more data, so big data is increasingly a challenge. There is even more sensing and data coming down the road, and it doesn't matter if you look at it as big data or more sensing. Big computing is sort of the common thread in it. Add to that, the talent they needed to move forward. Traditionally, they needed sort of geoscientists. Moving forward, they need geoscientists with a sizable chunk of computational sort of skill set. And that is something that's sort of a portion that sort of us academics are not really well equipped to deliver. And do we need every geoscientist to become a computer scientist? No. Do we need them to be fairly, at least conversant in and have a understanding of the challenges of large-scale computing and computer science? Yes. And that's really part of the equation. So it was about long-range projections for infrastructure, what are the needs 3 years out, and what is the talent need that the industry needed to hire, in the next few years.
Mm-hmm. And be a little more specific about that. What are some of the critical skill areas or gaps in skill areas that were frequently mentioned at the event?
Well, it's both simple and complicated because, they don't want to let go of the domain expertise. So it becomes one of, I need people to be able to get ready to program for heterogeneity, for, you know, the multi-core environment, you know, for the massive scale of petaflops. Because you have to remember, this is an industry where companies have multi-petaflop systems today. So, and they're moving to the next level where they will actually are looking at, they know how to use an exaflop system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're ready to use it, and they need that. You know, there was an interesting exercise we did 2 or 3 years ago in preparation for the workshop that year, where we actually sat down with some of their colleagues and said, you know, why do we need exascale in the energy industry? And I conjectured that they needed it to basically be able to do assemblances computation, where you do multiple models, and you kind of like the hurricane prediction, and you look at multiple models, and then you make a conclusion about where to drill. Well, they came back to me and said, now, Jan, you're wrong. What we need it for is really to drive the higher resolution subsurface imaging that will allow us to do more precise. And we have algorithms that we can track today that we're working on that will need exascale capabilities down the road. So that was kind of an interesting thing. And this chart is actually making its way around the industry, by the computing industry, as somewhat of a target and says, here's an industry. This is what they need. This is where they want to go. How can we as a computing industry deliver on that? And that comes down to the research problems academics work on, as well as the technology barriers and challenges that the computing industry need to address to be able to get there.
Mm-hmm. Was exascale any kind of real theme also this year? I mean, there are a lot of things sort of pushing back that timeline, so to speak. I mean, there are a lot of technology, financial and other barriers. So to what degree was that a major issue, or was there something that trumped that loftier goal?
Well, there was some conversation about it, but I think it, you know, some of the hype has gone away, and I think sort of reality is starting to hit people, and you know, and power was one of the challenges. You know, can we really afford to turn on an exascale system? I mean, several people said, you know, if you want an exascale system and if you can afford to pay the power bill, we can build that today. And we know we can do that. We certainly, you know, ignore the fact that you have to build a nuclear reactor next door, but it's doable. Question is, you know, is it really exaflop? And, you know, there was conversation about, is exascale the right terminology? Is exaflop the right terminology? Maybe none of them, you know. But it's basically computing beyond what we can even fathom right now. That's really where we're going. So the question is, what is the industry? And the industry is like, well, 3 years from now, I need to be there. Because I have projects on my books which will deliver data on prospects where I need to process that, and I have a window of time where I need to process it, you know, to create the images that our interpreter is going to use to make drilling decisions. They're on a clock, and computing is a critical part of that, because computing is it's a high ROI, return on investment in industry. That's why they're investing. They're building data centers. They're going into huge colo facilities. They're making large-scale system investments.
Right. And, of course, if we're talking about exascale, even in a remote sense, the applications angle is obviously very important. What were some of the key themes this year around software and applications?
I think that it's starting to dawn on the community that, you know, software has always been hard. Software continues to be hard. You know, the end of Dennard scaling, you know, where clock frequency really drive, you know, the free lunch concept, you know, that is really well socialized, that is sort of in the past. And people are starting to realize how hard it is to do that. Now, add to that at the scale of, you know, 100,000, a million kinds of scale in terms of nodes or cores, you know, how do you fault tolerance is going to be real. How do you deal with that? I think, you know, developing codes that are robust, that will actually run, you know, on such large systems that have heterogeneous architectures on them. How do you leverage that together? So it was very clear that a lot of the research talks we heard was focused on those challenges. The industry is listening very attentively by the oil and gas industry, because they know that the talent pool they need to start filling now need to be able to help them move their algorithms into that architecture in the future.
Was there any sense of divergence between what the researchers were presenting and describing and discussing and what the industry practitioners on the oil and gas side were talking about? Was there a blending between the two goals and needs and interests?
I personally sensed that there was a lot of blending, and maybe that is because it's even though we had 500 plus people there, it's nevertheless somewhat of a self-selecting crowd that sort of, you know, understand each other's problems to some degree. And they joined up in this meeting because, on one hand, the oil and gas industry has a real need and wants to communicate what they're looking at. Academics want there because they understand the research challenges, and the IT industry is there. We need to listen so we know what systems to build. So there's some preconditioning self-selection in that, you know, so I don't sense that there was a conflict. I think what was interesting was Randall Reinheimer from Los Alamos National Lab, when sort of he pulled up and showed a big picture with a huge truck with loaded with 36-inch pipes. They're not data pipes, they're water pipes. So moving forward, you know, that kind of just sets the stage for, you know, not only do you have to be a computer person to run and operate data centers, you have to be a plumber, you have to be a facility person, and you're dealing with dimensions that is beyond what we really haven't ever thought about for, you know, in HPC. So they're both exciting and challenging and intimidating.
Mm-hmm. What did the oil and gas industry, and you had some high power executives there from that industry, an amazing event on that front. What was the theme among all of their speeches in terms of what they really need? Is there a way to collect that into one idea, or aside from talent, of course, and aside from more powerful software and systems, is there something else that they were demanding?
No, I don't think there's a particular thing. I think that when Peter Bruning, the general manager and technology management and architecture at Chevron, our opening keynote, he really set the stage when he sort of said, you know, in our field, by that the oil and gas industry, he proclaimed that the last decade was devoted to big data, and this decade is on sensing. And the takeaway for me, and I think I mentioned this earlier, is that, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's all about big computing, because if I have better sensors, if that means I have more data. When I have more data, I need bigger, you know, computational capability to be able to actually make sense out of the data. So I think it is making sense of the data that they're collecting is maybe a cross-cutting theme. And you know, it's very clear that the return on investment in this space for the industry is well understood in the industry, and they continue to invest in it, you know, and that's where it's really moving. And they're not questioning that. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just on a beat, as I said, with big project coming on, you know, big prospects that they're wanted to image. And I also think, by the way, that if you look at the energy industry, there's going to be more interesting challenges also in the shale, oil, and gas, you know, when you start doing more imaging and more processing in that space. Right now, there's not a lot of analysis there, but that's another field that's going to start opening up.
Mm-hmm. Were there any conversations around specific technologies or even vendors with specific technologies for that industry that maybe captured the attention or the imagination?
I think that everybody is worried about the bottlenecks, and I think right now the biggest concern is really I/O bandwidth is coming at the forefront, and I think that's one of the challenges, you know, that you know we're a theme of conversation. I think the computing industry is sort of somewhat challenged with kind of really scaling that at the same level that they scale the computing. So I think that's certainly an area where I sense that we have some work to do, and there's great opportunities.
Mm-hmm. And so aside from the presentations you mentioned, if you had to give a most valuable presentation award to anyone that was there, what do you think sort of stole the show or took the cake as far as topics go?
Well, you know, I'm a little bit biased maybe in that sense, but I think that the opening keynote, honestly, we're really setting the stage, and having worked so closely with the energy industry for so many years and helping bridge that into what we are doing and you know, care about here at Rice and other universities care about is about how do we prepare our talent for the future. I think he did an excellent job really communicating the importance and the fact that this is a real high-tech industry. This is where it sometimes falls short, because this is an industry that have tremendous amount of innovation, and it depends on high technology, you know, but it's not always well understood from the outside. you know. And that is, you know, because they think about, have had a long history of thinking about the other energy company as the competition for talent and for technology. And yet right now, I think that we're quickly discovering that the challenge is actually Silicon Valley, Wall Street, and other industry verticals. And that's a real sort of mind shift that you have to do, and that's because of computing.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe that, what you just mentioned about the tension caused by Silicon Valley and Wall Street? What are those pressures?
Well, the pressures is that, you know, our computer scientists and computational scientists, they have access to and have dreams about being in an entrepreneurial startup environment. They see Silicon Valley as their dream future. They see Wall Street, you know, financial market as something where they could really make a difference. And they don't quite recognize that the same high-tech, high-impact opportunities exist in the energy industry. So so that's really where it's at. And I think that sort of persistent work on the part of this particular workshop and other communities and sort of help debunk that myth that there is, that this is not a high-tech industry. I mean, you as well as I know that, you know, you could not find oil at the kind of depth, the water depth and below the seafloor, you know, without real high-tech solutions. And we do that all the time, and we depend on that energy. But I'm, you know, and maybe there is a dream of being more green in the future, and I would like that as much as anybody else. But the reality is that I don't think for the next 50 years that we can just turn off hydrocarbons. Question is, the green opportunity is, how do you make that in a responsible way and make sure that, you know, we're there to, you know, to both harvest and consume that in a very responsible fashion. And again, I think high-performance computing, you know, high-tech is really part of that equation.
Absolutely it is. Well, Dr. Jan Odegaard, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us this overview of the workshop. It sounds absolutely fascinating. We'll be sure to check in again next year for your 8th annual event.
Thank you, Nicole, and I really enjoyed it.
Me too, and thanks to all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.